Let's commence with chapter 5, which deals with... Yes, my director.
May I know, what is the rule or regulation run around the submission of this book? You spoke about 3 days last
three day, 3 day rule.
Yes.
Yeah, it can be suspended, but that's not the ideal. But what we're trying to achieve is to make sure that if we can, we stay within the rule. But the rule simply is that we must give 3 days clearance to pass the bill. I think there would be no point in attempting to pass it today with glaring error. That just should be corrected anyway. We just took advantage of the fact that there are errors that we effected as a changes which we think absolutely necessary. But strictly speaking, the purpose of our meeting today was not to go back to the substance. It was just to find errors and correct of the text that came through. All right? It's just that it won't cost us to effect. So I'm going to be very, very strict going forward now. I know that the chapters thus far are a bit tricky in terms of formulation. But some of these things, we don't have to get them 101% correct. There's something called amendment to bills, to acts of parliament. So department can always come back to parliament in the future if need arises. Right. Now we're going to start running. We've been walking all along and wobbling along, but now we're running. State Chief Director, Legal Services, are you continuing to provide us with the service? Please do.
Commission, National House of Traditional Leaders, South African Police Services and Ministers of Education, Arts and Culture, Health, Provincial and Local Government, Sports and Recreation must develop guidelines for the establishment of community-based services. The Minister, in consultation with the Ministers and Organs of State referred to in subsection 1, must prescribe national norms and standards for community-based services and the type of community-based services and the manner in which such services must be provided. The MEC may, in consultation with the relevant provincial departments, develop an integrated provincial strategy for community-based services. The MEC may, in consultation with the members of the Executive Council responsible for health, education, sports and recreation, safety and security, and local government in the province in question and from monies appropriated by the provincial legislature for that purpose, fund community-based services for the province. Community-based services rendered by non-governmental organizations qualify for funding from money appropriated by the provincial legislature if they comply with the registration requirements contemplated in subsection 2. The community-based strategy must target children and youth, whether in and out of school, people with disabilities, older persons, families and communities in both rural and urban areas. Community structures must be involved in and participate in the rendering of community-based services. Clause 13, establishment and provision of community-based services. The MEC, after consultation with the departments referred to in section 12.4, and local municipalities must facilitate the establishment of community-based services with special emphasis on under-service areas. The MEC, in collaboration with the relevant departments contemplated in subsection 1, and with local municipalities may provide or fund community-based services from monies appropriated by the provincial legislature for that purpose. Community-based services contemplated in subsection 1 must be managed and maintained in accordance with this Act and comply with the prescribed norms and standards contemplated in Section 6(1) and such other requirements as may be prescribed. Community-based services must include community-based treatment programs subject to Sections 33, 36, and 39. Establish or utilize existing facilities and infrastructure, including primary health care centers, to provide integrated community-based treatment programs. Consist of a multidisciplinary team consisting of a social worker, professional nurse, and any other mental health practitioner registered with the relevant statutory body. Provide professional and lay support within the home environment and establish recreational, cultural, and sports activities to divert young people from substance abuse. Clause 14, registration of community-based services. No person may provide community-based services unless the services are registered in terms of this section. Any person who wishes to provide a community-based service must apply to the HOD for the registration of such service. The minister must, in consultation with the National Youth Commission, National House of Traditional Leaders, and the ministers referred to in Section 12(1), prescribe conditions for the registration of community-based services, including application for registration, approval of registration, temporary registration, withdrawal and termination of registration. Registration granted in terms of this section is not transferable to another person. If the provider of a service for any reason intends to stop providing the service, the provider must, prior to stopping the service in question, notify the HOD of the intention and the implications of such stoppage for the affected persons, inform the persons affected of the intended stoppage of the service, and take reasonable steps to ensure that the persons benefiting from the service are not adversely affected or put at risk, and where appropriate, are referred to a person providing similar services. A person who renders a community-based service that has not been registered in terms of this section is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 12 months, or to both of a fine and such imprisonment. Management structure of community-based services of Clause 15. Management structures must be established for each community-based service. The minister may prescribe guidelines for the functioning and composition of management structures, election, appointment, qualification, terms of office, and grounds for removal from office of members of the structure, and number of and procedure at meetings at a management structure. The management structure established in terms of Subsection 1 must ensure that it provides quality service, it increases opportunities for training of staff, it applies sound financial management principles, there is proper and effective management of services, and appropriate complaints, mechanisms, and procedures are in place. Persons providing community-based services. Clause 16. All social workers, health care providers must be registered with the appropriate statutory council responsible for the relevant profession. Any person who contravenes or fails to comply with this section is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 12 months, or to both a fine and such imprisonment. That's chapter 5.
All right. Anything to start off? I see we're using in Clause 16 health care provider. Also, we're using mental health care. Are we talking about two different people? Yeah. Clause 16(1), all social workers and health care providers must be registered with the relevant, with the appropriate statutory council, etc. And is it always councils that are responsible?
I think, well, I hear what you're saying, and I think in line with the definition, I think we can just mention mental health practitioners. Mental health practitioners, and then we say with the appropriate statutory body.
Yes, let me see. Is it on this one?
Yeah.
All right.
Is it possible for us to put in the clause 12 correctional services as well?
You want to clarify? something else in chapter 5 before I step off it. No further correction? Everything is consistent, the language, everything.
Outpatient services, clause 70, establishment and disestablishment of public treatment center. The minister must, in consultation with the MEC, from funds appropriated by Parliament for that purpose, establish, maintain, and manage at least one public treatment center in each province of the Republic for the reception, treatment, rehabilitation, and skills development of service users contemplated in sections 28 and 29. The minister may, in consultation with the MEC, and after giving 3 months' notice and providing reasons for his or her decision, disestablish a public treatment center. Clause 18, purposes for which persons are admitted to treatment centers. A service user is admitted to a public treatment center for the purposes of receiving or undergoing treatment and rehabilitation, including skills development. Clause 19, registration and cancellation of registration of treatment center. No person may establish or manage any treatment center maintained for the treatment, rehabilitation, and skills development of service users, or in which such persons receive mainly physical, psychological, spiritual, or social treatment, unless such treatment center is registered in terms of this section. Any person who desires to establish or manage a treatment center contemplated in subsection 1 must apply in the prescribed manner to the Director General for the registration of such center. The Director General may, after consideration of an application contemplated in subsection 2 and such other information as he or she may obtain, and if he or she is satisfied that such treatment center is or will be managed and conducted in such a way that the reception, maintenance, treatment, rehabilitation, and skills development of service users complies with the prescribed requirements, grant the application for registration and issue a registration certificate. The Director General may grant a conditional registration on such conditions as he or she may deem fit for a maximum period of 12 months and must specify those conditions to the applicant in the prescribed manner. The conditional registration contemplated in subsection 4 may only be extended for a maximum period of 12 months under the same conditions. The Director General may at any time after 3 months' notice of his or her intention to do so, and after consideration of any representation received by him or her during such months, amend or cancel a registration certificate issued in terms of subsection 3 or 4. A registration certificate granted by the Director General is valid for a period of 5 years and is renewable every 5 years on application by the owner or manager of a treatment center 6 months prior to the expiry date. The Director General must refuse an application for registration in terms of subsection 2 or 7 if, after consideration of such application, he or she is not satisfied that such treatment center is or will be managed or conducted in the manner contemplated in subsection 3. If an application for a registration certificate is refused or if such certificate is cancelled, the owner or manager concerned must take reasonable steps to ensure that all service users admitted in the treatment center concerned are admitted in another registered facility or with persons who, in the opinion of a social worker, are fit and proper persons for accommodating such service users. The amendment or cancellation of a registration certificate contemplated in this section must be effected by notice in writing addressed to the holder thereof and comes into operation on a date specified in the notice, which date may not be earlier than 3 months after the date of the notice unless the Director General and the holder of the registration certificate have agreed otherwise. A registration certificate issued under subsection 3 or 4 is not transferable. The holder of a registration certificate issued under subsection 3 or 4 may, after 3 months' written notice, surrender such a registration certificate to the Director General. Whenever a registration certificate is cancelled under subsection 8 or surrendered under paragraph A, the powers and duties conferred or imposed under this Act on the holder thereof must devolve upon the Director General. A person who contravenes or fails to comply with this section or any condition imposed thereunder is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period exceeding 12 months or to both a fine and such imprisonment. Clause 20, establishment of public halfway house. The Minister may, in consultation with the MEC, from funds appropriated by Parliament for that purpose, establish, maintain and manage halfway houses to provide homes for service users who, in terms of this Act, have been discharged from a treatment centre or have been granted leave of absence from any such centre. Service users referred to in Section 32 and 33. Persons referred to in terms to in Sections 35 and 37 and persons who are receiving or undergoing treatment for dependency on substances in a facility of a provincial administration or who have received or undergone such treatment in any facility approved by the Director General. A service user may be admitted to a public halfway house for a period not exceeding 12 months, which may be extended for a further period not exceeding 6 months, if there is a need for such extension and upon application by the manager of the facility to the Director General and upon furnishing reasons for such extension. The manager of a public halfway house must submit to the Director General programs established by the manager regarding relapse prevention in respect of substance abuse, the dissemination of information to the community about the dangers of substance abuse, the education of and dissemination of information to children, families and communities about the dangers of substance abuse, skills development for service users and their reintegration into society, and the dissemination of information to the community and service users about the dangers of substance abuse, including links between substance abuse, HIV and AIDS, and other health conditions. Clause 21, registration of private halfway house. No person may establish or manage a private halfway house unless such halfway house has been issued with a registration certificate contemplating subsection 3. Any person who desires to establish or manage a private halfway house contemplating subsection 1 must apply in the prescribed manner to the Director General for the registration of such halfway house. The Director General may, after consideration of an application contemplating subsection 2 and such other information as he or she may obtain, and if he or she is certified that such private halfway house is or will be managed and conducted in such a way that the reception, maintenance, rehabilitation, professional support and skills development of service users complies with the prescribed requirements, grant the application for registration and issue a registration certificate. The Director General may grant a conditional registration on such conditions as he or she may deem fit for a maximum period of 12 months and must specify those conditions to the applicant in the prescribed manner. The conditional registration contemplated in subsection 4 may be extended for a maximum period of 12 months under the same conditions. The Director General may at any time after 3 months notice of his or her intention to do so and after consideration of any representation received by him or her during such period, amend or cancel a registration certificate issued in terms of subsection 3 or 4. The amendment or cancellation of a registration certificate contemplated in this section must be effected by notice in writing to the holder thereof and comes into operation on date specified in the notice, which date may not be earlier than 3 months after the date of the notice, unless the Director General and the holder of the registration certificate have agreed otherwise. The Director General must refuse the application in terms of subsection 2 if, after consideration of such application, he or she is not satisfied that such private halfway house is or will be managed or conducted in the manner contemplated in subsection 3. A registration certificate issued under subsection 3 or 4 is not transferable. The holder of a registration certificate issued under subsection 3 or 4 may, after 3 months' written notice, surrender such registration certificate to the Director General. The manager of a private halfway house must submit to the Director General programs established by it regarding its activities for prevention, treatment, rehabilitation, training and reintegration of persons contemplating section 14.1. A service user may be admitted in a private halfway house for a period not exceeding 6 months, which period may, if there is a need for an extension of the period of admission, be extended for a further period not exceeding 6 months, and if the manager concerned has furnished reasons for such extension to the Director General. Any person who contravenes or fails to comply with this section or any condition imposed thereunder is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 12 months or to both a fine and such imprisonment. Clause 22. Compliance with conditions for registration of treatment center and halfway house. If there is reason to believe that any of the conditions contemplated in section 19.4 or 21.4 has not been complied with, the Director General may implement measures to facilitate compliance with those conditions. The manager of a treatment center or halfway house must report to the Director General any circumstance which may result in his or her inability to comply with any condition contemplated in section 19.4 or 21.4. If the registration of a treatment center or halfway house has been cancelled in terms of section 19.6 or 21.6, or if the owner or manager of a treatment center or halfway house wishes to discontinue his or her service, the owner or manager must, prior to any decision to discontinue the relevant service, consult with the Director General on the matter, furnish the Director General with a full report on the accommodation of the service users affected by the decision, and hand over to the department all assets bought with government funds. Any person who fails to comply with subsection 1 is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 12 months or to both a fine and such imprisonment. A person convicted of an offence contemplated in this section may not manage or operate a treatment centre or halfway house. Clause 23, monitoring and assessment of treatment centre and halfway house. A monitoring and assessment team consisting of such appropriately qualified persons as the Director General may determine may, subject to subsection 3, enter any treatment centre or halfway house and assess and monitor compliance with any prescribed requirements and applicable minimum norms and standards in relation to the records and documents of such treatment center or halfway house, any service users admitted or accommodated in such treatment center or halfway house, and the programs provided by such treatment center or halfway house. The monitoring and assessment team may interview any service user or person affected by substance abuse admitted in such treatment center or halfway house, and with the consent of any service user or persons affected by substance abuse, cause such persons to be medically examined by a medical practitioner in a health establishment. The members of the monitoring and assessment team must be furnished with a certificate authorizing such members to give effect to the provisions of subsection 1 signed by the Director General, which must be produced at the request of any person affected by such monitoring and assessment. No notice of a visit to a treatment center or halfway house is required if there is reason to believe that the life of a service user in the treatment center or halfway house is threatened or in danger, or the treatment center or halfway house is managed in a way that constitutes a danger or threat to the service users admitted in such a treatment, in such a center or house. At the conclusion of the assessment and monitoring, the team must compile a report of its findings and recommendations to the Director General. Upon receipt of the report referred to in subsection 5, the Director General may, if he or she has reason to believe that the health and safety of service users or persons engaged in the provision of services at a treatment center or halfway house is at risk, there is imminent danger to the health and safety of service users or persons engaged in the provision of services at a treatment center or halfway house, or the treatment center or halfway house has failed to comply with the minimum norms and standards and the prescribed requirements, take steps to ensure compliance with minimum norms and standards, or amend or cancel the registration certificates and contemplated in sections 19.6 and 21.6. Notwithstanding subsection 6, the Director General may, upon receipt of a report contemplating subsection 5, and if he has reason to believe that there is imminent danger to the health and safety of any service user or person engaged in the service, in the services of the treatment center or halfway house, apply to the court for immediate closure of the treatment center or halfway house. Upon cancellation of the registration certificate or closure of the treatment center or halfway house, the Director General must ensure that service users in such treatment center or halfway house are transferred to another treatment center or halfway house, Any person who obstructs or hinders the monitoring and assessment team in the exercise of any power conferred upon it in terms of this section fails to produce any relevant document or record required by the monitoring and assessment team for the investigation is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 12 months or to both a fine and such imprisonment. Clause 24, staff of public treatment center and public affair house. The Director General may, subject to the laws governing the public service, appoint a suitably qualified person as prescribed as a manager of a public treatment center or halfway house, and such staff as may be required for the proper management and control of a public treatment center and public halfway house. The powers and duties of staff appointed in terms of subsection 1 must be prescribed. In the event that the manager is not a social worker, medical practitioner, psychiatrist, psychologist or nurse, he or she must be assisted by a social worker, medical practitioner, psychiatrist, psychologist, or a nurse. The manager must also be assisted in the determination of treatment, rehabilitation, and training in respect of service users or persons affected by substance abuse. Treatment skills development and rehabilitation of service users or persons affected by substance abuse. A social worker, medical practitioner, psychiatrist, psychologist or nurse contemplating in paragraph A may be attached to the public treatment center or public halfway house in question or may be assigned to such treatment center or halfway house by the Director General. Clause 25, appeals. Any person who is aggrieved by any decision of the Director General contemplated in sections 17, 19, 21 or 23(6) may appeal to the Minister in the prescribed manner. Clause 26, death, serious injury or abuse of service user or any persons affected by substance abuse in treatment center or halfway house. In the event of a natural and an unnatural death of a service user in a treatment center or halfway house, the manager of such center or house must immediately report such death to the Director General, the next of kin, the parent or guardian of the child. In the event of an unnatural death of a service user in a treatment center or halfway house, the manager of such center or house must, in addition to the persons referred to in subsection 1, immediately report such death to a police official. The police official must, upon receipt of the report in terms of subsection 2, cause an investigation into the circumstances surrounding the death of the service user or any persons affected by substance abuse to be conducted by the South African Police Service unless the police official is satisfied that the service user or any persons affected by substance abuse died of natural causes. If a service user or any persons affected by substance abuse is seriously injured or allegedly abused while at a treatment center or halfway house, the manager of such center or house must report such injury or abuse to the Director General, who must cause an investigation to be conducted into the circumstances of such injury or abuse. A manager who fails to comply with subsection 1, 2, or 4 is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 12 months or to both a fine and such imprisonment. Clause 27, establishment of outpatient services. The manager of a treatment center may establish any of the following outpatient services. Services consisting of prevention programs, including programs on education, training, information sharing, and campaigns. Services consisting of early intervention programs, including programs for the diversion of adults and children, and holistic treatment services, including family programs, treatment services, therapeutic intervention, aftercare, and reintegration. Clause 28, children abusing substances or affected by substance abuse. Section 110 of the Children's Act applies with the changes required by the context in respect of the children abusing substances or affected by substance abuse. Children that are dependent on substances must be treated in separate facilities and apart from adults, whether within treatment centers or in facilities designated for children. Section 199 of the Children's Act applies with the changes required by context in respect of children admitted to children admitted to child and youth care centers that offer treatment for substance abuse and dependence. Any child and youth care centers contemplated in subsection 3 must comply with conditions for registration and norms and standards for the establishment of treatment centers. Section 148 of the Children's Act applies in relation to court-ordered early intervention programs for children. Section 157 of the Children's Act applies with the necessary changes required by the context in respect of children placed in alternative care for substance abuse-related offences. Clause 29, Management Structure of Treatment Center and Halfway House. A management structure must be established in accordance with the provisions of this section for each treatment center and halfway house. The minister must prescribe the composition of the structure, which must include representatives of the beneficiaries of the service, staff of the relevant treatment center or halfway house, and members of the public. Election, appointment, qualification, terms of office, and grounds for removal from office of members of the structure, and the filling of vacancies, and number of procedure to be followed at meetings of a management structure. The management structure established in terms of subsection 1 must ensure that the treatment center or halfway house provides a quality service, provides opportunities for the training of staff, applies principles of sound financial management. If it is a treatment center or halfway house registered in terms of Non-Profit Organization Act 1997, Act Number 71 of 1997, comply with Section 18 of that Act. If it is a company registered in terms of Companies Act 1973, Act Number 61 of 1973, comply with Section 302 of that Act and functions effectively. Chapter 6.
The end of the chapter.
I think Chairperson, she must get a prize for speed reading.
Yes. All you need to do is make sure that the mic is closer to you. But as far as the speed is concerned, that is the directive, that you must move at a speed faster than light. And you've done exactly what the committee requested of you. All right. There's the chapter. Anybody who has any corrections that they need to offer to this chapter? We've decided that somebody must actually read out so that those that are slow readers, like myself, can actually listen if they choose to. My version is actually scrambled. I'm still waiting for a correct version of the large print. So I'm going to depend on the discerning eyes of this collective.
Just one clarity.
Yes.
I wonder if there is a difference in disapprove and refuse. Which will be the better word to use?
Difference in? Sorry? The difference in?
Yeah, the Director General must refuse an application. I wonder if disapprove will be
better. All right, and that is close? Close? Clause 8, chapter 6, clause, chapter 18. Is it clause 18? Oh, you mean subclause A, the Director General, at the bottom?
Yes.
lymphatic mass. I mean, there could be one small thing missing, listed in sub 3. Would that compel the Director General to refuse the application, even if it's just a minor thing? Shouldn't we loosen it a bit and use the instead of mass? And of course, disapprove sub 8 at the bottom of clause 13 and the clause 7, and the clause. Plus 19. Yeah, but Ms. Mamkiza's question is the term refuse the ideal word? As opposed to disapprove. I wouldn't make a big fuss, and in any case, I don't think we want to open up some of the issues. But I think that this must refuse is a bit too rigid for the Director General. I think we need to give him flexibility. There could be missing something small mentioned in sub 3, and he might nevertheless feel that he can let go of it.
To what I've read, and some of them are just questions, they can just quickly answer me. 17.1.
Can we just confirm, is there agreement regarding the proposal? I just want to make sure that when we deal with something, we finalize it. Is there any objection to May? Mamkiza, will you fight if we keep refuse?
No.
All right. And is that consistent elsewhere in the bill? Yes. All right. Yes, Honorable Panizulu.
17.1.
Yes.
I think there we have a must instead of a may. So I think we just got our must and mays tangled up a bit. A must is a little bit too... I support what the department, but I know that when you don't have that, then there's trouble. So I would be comfortable with the minister may in consultation with from funds appropriated by parliament for that purpose, especially if we remember our governance system, especially if you have the MEC and the minister in the same line. We are not going to put a mask. The establishment of the treatment centers. The minister must, in consultation with the MEC, from funds appropriated by Parliament for that purpose, establish, maintain, and manage at least one public treatment center in each province of the Republic.
Yeah. I thought that what we resolved after a lengthy debate last week was to keep the must because it's a definite specific
that's fine, sir.
Undertaking.
That's fine, but we must just be aware that we're binding.
Yes.
Yeah,
the intention was to do that. Because apparently there has been an agreement in terms of allocation of resources, and there's a principle to the effect that the whole legislation is pointless if there isn't at least one treatment center per province. And the understanding is that at the level of government policy, this agreement.
That is fine if the committee agreed on that.
All right.
And couldn't we replace this established with close? Wouldn't that read a little, especially?
This established with
That is on 2, the same 17:2. Wouldn't close just makes it a little clearer rather than you de-establishing something?
I'm going to suggest that this terminology is used elsewhere, so we're not going to reopen that.
Okay, that's fine. No, I just haven't
seen
right. Anyway,
17:8. We felt that legally it's fine, so it's fine.
All right, 17, sir.
All right.
7. On the same 17, number 7.
All right.
19.
Yes?
17
or
19? Oh, sorry, guys. What is it?
19. All right.
Thanks. 19:7.
Yes.
Isn't that a bit of a repetition? Registration is granted by the Director General is valid for a period. Oh, no. My question here was, is the committee happy with the 5 years? Are we saying that, I mean, I'm thinking about the A-Native system. If you guys agreed on 5 years, does the department have the capacity to be renewing people's licenses for every 5 years? Because I'm already thinking about the drama with the licenses and everything else. Are we sure we're putting a time frame that people's registrations are going to be... I'm just worried. I think we're just becoming a little...
What did you have in mind?
No, I'm just saying, why are we putting a time frame? Was there any reason for the committee to come to that? Because if you have a functioning MNE system, as prescribed in the same chapter, then you can't, because you would from evaluate, you make your MNE system to function properly, and then you would obviously catch those that sort of deal, but now you're making it compulsory for everybody who's got a license to for that license to only be issued for 5 years, and then everybody must come and renew. I'm just saying from a capacity and practicality point of view, does the department have that capacity? If the department says yes, it's not a do or die, but I'm just worried that we're going to wake up one day and the department is not going to have the capacity, because we're talking about halfway houses, both private and public. I'm just asking.
Is it something that we decided on as the committee, or is it something that was contained in the bill that was introduced?
This actually the comments that we received from the public comments that we received and also from departments was actually saying this time is too long. We should be able to do it in 3 years at the least, or even a year. But he said we're going to keep it for 5 years, and that was also supported by the committee to say that we must keep it for 5 years, with the understanding that there will be ongoing monitoring and evaluation, and also that the function is decentralized, actually happens at the provincial level. So it's not as many facilities as we...
Yeah, I'm not going to refuse the department making a commitment on itself. What was the text as it came to us? Was it 5 years?
It was 5 years, Jay, when it came here.
So we're basically retaining the bill as it is.
I think the other thing that you need to take into account is that it's not that all these facilities will register in 1 year. You may find them registered in different years. So you may find in a particular year you renew maybe 20 license registrations in another year. So it won't be all of the year.
Look, I'm not going to open up some of this policy debates, all right? So let's avoid some of them.
It's fine, Chair, but
right.
I'm just being a practicalist, and I've not been a public servant, but I know how the public service functions. So I can live with that if the committee feels that's practical.
Well, they've undertaken it. They've made a policy choice.
Hopefully I'm living
Let
to
them
see that
live
day.
With it.
I'm right. living to see that day, Chair, but anyway,
right.
if we go down to 13,
uh-huh.
I just want to find out throughout the bill I'm seeing, and I know I'm raising it again because I asked a question earlier, even then. I can't remember what was, I didn't write that. But whether are we setting minimum sentences now in this bill? The discussion then was what was the crime. And I tried to read to look for the crime. I think I have a clearer version of what the crime is. But I was just saying, are we now setting minimum, the fine and the not exceeding 12 months. I'm just a little worried with that, and I've seen it throughout. But if the committee is comfortable, I'm just registering it. Some of the offences.
No, no. This is maximum, not minimum. The rule governing the setting of setting a penalty is that ordinarily you prescribe the maximum sentence that a magistrate can impose. You ordinarily do not set the minimum sentence because you allow the judicial officer discretion to take into account whatever circumstances in determining an appropriate sentence, as long as they do not exceed a certain maximum. That's the approach.
Can I continue?
All
right. That is what my problem is, but let's leave it.
Yeah, no, that's how it's done. That's the standard approach.
Yeah, I'm very worried about the maximum of 1 year, Chair, but because some of the offences will be very serious. But anyway, that is fine. Let's move on. My next
what is the offence in relation to which this serious?
No, you know what my problem is?
Yes.
That it's the same offence throughout. Whether you don't comply with the registration, whether it's a standard paragraph in different parts of this.
But we should actually remember that there is common law offences and statutory offences.
Yes.
The statutory offence may be the administrative part of your violation, but there may well be that there's a common law offence over and above the administrative non-compliance. And that may well be that you are complicit to a murder or an assault. You were a party to an assault. Or you could have committed some other common law offense. So this is complementary to what could be otherwise a standard common law offense also. All right.
That's a repetition.
20
B and C.
21 B and C. Alright.
No, at 3. Sorry. 20 subsection 3. It says the manager or a public half warehouse must submit to the director general programs established by the manager regarding, and it says A, relapse prevention in respect of substance abuse. Then it says B, the dissemination of information to the community about the danger of substance abuse. Then it says C, the education of and dissemination of information to children, families and communities about the dangers of substance abuse. I'm not sure what the difference is
between the two. All right.
And then the next D as well, okay, skills development for service users and their, oh no, I had a question on E. The dissemination of information, it goes with B and C, Chair. Number
right.
E, the dissemination of information to the community and service users about the dangers of substance abuse, including links between substance abuse, HIV and AIDS, and other health conditions. Because that's the only thing that's added, it's the last part.
Right.
That's so...
it looks like we kept on developing the same clause.
Yeah, and E could be combined to one thing.
Yeah, it looks like you initially had a B and you realized B is short, so you grew it into a C and you realize it's short, you grew it into an E. But basically the same provision. Yes, that's good. And good eagle's eyes there. Are we simply going to delete B and C and stay with E? Is E sufficient?
I think one could possibly do, now that E does not make reference to children and families, why we say dissemination, I'm reading E, the dissemination of information to the community, children and families, and service users, and then you'll capture it. If we still want to make reference to families and children, otherwise E could on its own be sufficient.
The question is there a need to refer to them?
Yeah, I'm just saying, what's the relevance?
Shouldn't we simply have...
Communities, they include families and children.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just asking, unless if we are saying, if we want to emphasize the issue of children, then we say the information must be relevant, age appropriate and relevant.
In fact, I would have thought...
C, the one that refers to children, we should just add that, because I think children need to learn at an early age. But it must be children, and then it must further talk to children only, to say that information that is age appropriate. So that we stress the point that it's not just about education, distributing the information. That information, because it talks to children, must be age appropriate.
Alright. So where would we put that? Would we split?
Yeah, we have
when,
the
two. Use?
We get rid of B.
Alright.
We keep C, that refers to families. And then after families, we put very specifically families at risk. Remember with our earlier discussion, it's not every family.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to do that. So we say children that's age appropriate and families, whatever, at risk or whatever we're going
to
use.
We may want to split them.
So, yeah, if we split them, that's fine. But
well, we could say youth, children, etc. That is age appropriate at the end. Because even for youth, the information must be age appropriate.
Chair, while I'm there, I have a note here on my previous piece. Was that, have we gotten rid of the issue that respects the culture and blah, 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 takes into consideration the traditions and the culture of the people? What happened to that? Did it disappear in the redrafting or?
What does the previous text say? Did we take it to the principal? Yeah, so we had certain things. Shouldn't the issue of age appropriate also go to the principal? Is it not there? Because I would imagine it would be appropriate in respect of the entire bill. Yes?
But isn't it that when you target children, you would know that targeting people of a specific age.
No, it's a matter of, it's a principle. All right, let's not have a lengthy debate. All right. Can we accessibility age appropriate? Find a place in the principles, because that is a universal principle that should apply to the bill as a whole. All the services that we're going to be rendering. In chapter 3. All right. Couch something for us in chapter 3, and we'll just slot it in as an addition there. There's a whole list of principles that should inform. There is
age
one.
Chair?
Yeah.
For age.
Yeah.
Says ensures that services are available and accessible to all service users, including women, children, older persons, and persons with disability, without any preference or discrimination. So we could create a specific clause for children that services should be age appropriate for young
people. Maybe we can just add to that very same clause, and that is age appropriate. All right.
On 9.
But then, what then do we do in relation to what version do we then keep? Do we keep the version reworded C only? And if so, can we finally read the final text of C? Because I don't want us to step off anything until we certify that we have resolved it.
Establishment of public halfway houses, and I think that we mustn't forget that this is a halfway house in terms of families at risk. You know, halfway houses cater for people that have received treatment and go to the halfway house for their preparation for integration. So I'm not sure whether.
But is this not about disseminating information to the communities to which and families to which those people eventually are going to be reintegrated? Is that not?
leave it here, Chair, but the challenge is that if it's for the immediate community, which is in the environment of the public halfway house, then it's appropriate, but not from the communities where they come. Because
I thought that the department itself insisted in the earlier discussions that a halfway house should not just concern itself with the people inside the halfway house, but must do the prepare the ground for reintegration. All right. So let's move forward and not reconceptualize things that we've already agreed on. All right. Fine. Can we read the final text of paragraph C? B dies, E dies, a new version of C. Child appropriate goes to the principals, disability goes to the principals, always stating is the dissemination of information or whatever the information component there, but emphasizing certain target groups. All right? Is there somebody who's going to read the final formulation? Honorable Panagol?
No, I was saying, Chair, we are keeping. I'm just trying to write as you talk, so when the bill comes back,
right,
we know what to check. So we are killing B, right?
Yeah.
And then we are saying C is the education of and dissemination of information to children. Is that because I thought C was dying because we said age appropriate is going to the principals. Because then if you take age appropriate to the principals, then there's no relevance of C. Then we are left with E only, which makes more sense.
What does E then say?
The education of and dissemination, the education of information to the community and to the community, né, and service users about the dangers of substance abuse, including links between substance abuse, HIV, AIDS, and other health conditions.
We must remember the comment, though, that the Honorable, director is saying.
Then we talk about children.
We're not talking generally the function of providing or contributing towards prevention. We here are talking about preparation for reintegration. That is the primary objective. We're talking about a halfway house and what is the specific task of a halfway house in relation to reintegration.
Mm.
Yeah?
If you look at three, this is what the manager of the halfway house, I assume that this is the conditions of registration, right?
Yeah.
And then the manager of the halfway house should submit to the director general the programs that are going to be run at that halfway house.
Yeah.
This is what this says. So I was going to come back to what the chief director was reminding us of, was that if that's my understanding of this being a condition of registration,
yes,
and this program, then what you are saying is still relevant, that we would still not need B and C, but because communities include children. And then in the principles, we've already highlighted the long list that so that person would automatically in any way have to break the community up and say, with children, this is what I will do, and this is age appropriate, and then the DG can then measure those programs against that. Hence, we agree that you...
But shouldn't we qualify it even further and say, families and communities...
you qualify
to which the service uses to facilitate reintegration, to limit it. Because if I understand the chief director correctly, this is being proposed in a particular context. It's not just a general
I think I would A, B, A, D, and E would be for me the most important, and I would the others.
And the final formulation of E?
No, I'm saying
the final
A,
formulation of E. Reworded E.
I don't see anything wrong with
it. I think service users and their community.
Why don't we say with a special focus? With a special focus to those communities whom service users come from, whatever, to respond to what the chief director wants. Including the link.
Service users and their community. Is there any...
And their immediate communities. Can I just try and get
that?
There are two things. The dissemination of information to the communities. It could be in communities in close proximity to the halfway house as part of their outreach program. But there's another element to it. If you're talking about the communities of where service users come from, it might be a bit too cumbersome for the public halfway houses, because they are not necessarily in the same locality as your service users. You know, they don't locate there. So somebody could be going to Noport and coming from Cape Town. Does it mean Noport must then come and do an outreach? Come in and do community. You know,
I'm not going to allow us to have a lengthy debate on this. So let's find a medium which might mean keeping E more or less as it is. Alright? So we're keeping E, we're deleting B and C. Alright? So that we can move on. Any other changes? Have we captured all the alterations that have been agreed to in relation to this clause?
Yes, sir.
Right. Any other corrections? Yes, wait. Sean?
Yeah. The imminent, I think the spelling means something very different to the substance of it. 23, 6.
Your voice is like mine. It's called a bedroom voice. Can you shift gear to a boardroom voice?
It's
or
close,
bring the mic closer.
Close 23, 6B. Imminent. This is not the correct spelling to this. The imminent that we're referring to is IMMINET.
Instead of I.
Yeah, this is imminent, with an E.
Alright, can that be corrected?
It's two areas, two places.
Alright.
It's 6A, 6B, 23, 6B, and then 23, 7. Yeah.
Those are some of the glaring, embarrassing. Drafting. All right, everybody's captured it. Huh? You're still looking. Can you tell us which one it is, Sean? The second one? Sean?
Line 39.
Line 39 on page 16. Everybody's got it. Sorted out.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the last one is 29. If. It's not if.
Yeah.
Close 29 on page 18.
Is it close 29 or page 29?
Page 18.
No, I think it does follow, the E is 29, 3 if.
Alright. So there's no correction there. All right. Anything else, John, while you're still on the floor?
No.
That's basically it. All right. Honorable Mahopani Zulu, can you use your mic? Yes.
I was just on 22C.
All right.
I'm trying to find my compliance with conditions for registration of treatment centers and halfway houses. Yeah, that one. What is it? 22C. I just wanted to, I would be comfortable hand over to the department all assets bought with government funds where appropriate or where applicable. Because it doesn't say private, but it's conditions for both. So other people take their pensions to start something and they are not funded. So I just wanted, I would feel comfortable if where applicable is added, Chair. So it's not a blanket demand. 22C. Where relevant, where applicable, but I need a qualifier personally.
A qualifier in relation to?
No, that we at the moment it reads as if people must just give back whatever they bought by government. So maybe government bought a cup that broke. So I'm just for my own comfortable because it doesn't say private public. It's for both. So if we could just say where applicable.
Where appropriate.
Appropriate, whatever the word. But I do need a qualifier then. I would be comfortable with it.
All right, because it may well be that government had already relinquished its rights in respect of those.
Yes.
Those things. You know, I just, the whole concept is a bit weird to me.
Let's not go there, Chair. So can we register? We've had a long discussion about that.
Okay.
Already,
right.
You said.
Yeah.
We all feel weird about it, and we've expressed how we feel. So we just say,
right.
Is it okay?
At least appropriate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then I
okay.
can
sleep.
And then I just want to ask, this is just a general question, because this is where I left.
Uh-huh.
Did you finally then agree that it's going to be the DG, not the minister, that establishes the M&E assessment panel?
Which clause is that?
We are on 23, monitoring and assessment of treatment centers and halfway houses. When I left, it was the minister, so I'm seeing now it's the DG. So I was just checking, was there an agreement that it's going to be the DG that will set up the panel?
Okay. Yes, I think that was more of an administrative thing. This is the panel for us.
For the monitoring?
Yeah.
So,
okay. No, I think that we said it's an administrative.
Okay.
Yes.
There's a small typo on 4. I don't know whether it's significant, but 4, it is subsection 4 right at the top as line.
Sub 4 of clause?
Of clause 28. It's on page 18. There's a small again, a typo. On line A.
Subclause?
4.
4.
There's after establishment on the second line of that sentence. After establishment, there's a full stop or something there. We should not be there. Or a comma.
Maybe the printer there left out the tail of the comma.
Yeah.
So that it looks like a full stop.
But
all right.
Whether it's a comma or a full stop, it shouldn't be there.
So deletion of the comma. All right. Okay, anything else in this chapter? Yes, Lana? Wait, let's get Lana first, yeah?
Okay. Chair, just a few small errors that I've picked up. In the beginning, chapter 6, clause 17,
yeah.
Line 15, where we ask for one public treatment center in each province of the Republic. Did the committee agree that of the Republic is superfluous? Since all legislation is made for the Republic.
Yes, I think it's superfluous.
Okay, so that is going to be deleted. And then I picked up in
legal services. Do you have any objection to that? You're still looking for the classes. Wait, Lana, before you move to the next one.
17, subsection 1, line 15 of the Republic. To delete of the Republic.
Legal services, you're comfortable.
Yes, fine, you can do
all right. Please proceed, Lana.
We're comfortable.
All right, lovely. Let's proceed. Yes, Lana?
Thank you, Che. I just want to... On page 16, clause 23.6, line 28, Director General needs a hyphen. And then again in line 35, 36, 37, 38, another hyphen for Director General on the same page, subclause 7, 23.7, and on page 17, 26.1A, that Director General has got like a double hyphen, and it should just be a...
He's been stuffed of
a
hyphens.
A single hyphen, sorry. And not three hyphens.
He's been overfed with hyphens.
Yeah.
All right. Bafana, Bafana, making up for the losses there in their previous matches.
Go on 16. On 16.
Yes.
Clause 23, a monitoring assessment team consisting of such appropriate qualified persons as Director General may determine, may subject. I think the one may there has to come out.
23? Sub 1?
23.1.
Yeah.
Can we have it read again, Chair?
Can somebody read it out for us, the clause, sub 1? So that note was missed.
No. We had a discussion previously.
Yeah, I think I recall the discussion. I think it is correct, eh?
Yeah, we agreed, Chair, that it needs to stay. Because
yes,
the May doesn't...
Yes. Because the two refer to different things. I remember that. All right? Yes?
No, that's just for my to be up to speed.
Uh-huh.
24.
Uh-huh.
2.
Uh-huh.
Did the committee agree on the prescription? What was the final decision?
2.
On 24.1 says the Director General may, subject to the laws governing the public service, appoint a suitably qualified person, a suitably qualified person underlined by me, as prescribed, as a manager of a public treatment center or halfway house, and such staff as may be required for the proper management and control of a public treatment center and public halfway house. Then we come to say the powers and duties of staff appointed in terms of subsection 1 must be 3A. In the event, must be 3A. Let me say, in the event that the manager is not a social worker, medical practitioner, psychiatrist, psychologist, or nurse, he or she must be assisted by a social worker, medical practitioner, psychiatrist, psychologist, or a nurse. The manager must also be assisted in the... I'm just asking what was the final, because I was also living at this time.
We had further lengthy discussion that lasted for several hours into the night, and we agreed on this approach, that essentially what's going to happen is that in the event the manager is none of these things, then this other person is going to be the assistant, and we further conferred the responsibility for the professional side of the management of the facility some technical error somewhere, that issue will stand as such. All right. Anything else on this chapter from any quarter or any source? Yes, Honorable Sola.
Just to be clear, if this manager does not have any of these qualifications, it's not quite clear to me. In other words, if Sola becomes the manager there, I don't have any of these qualifications.
Yes.
Maybe he has got the legal qualifications.
Yes.
So I must have all these strings of people assisting me.
No, you must have
one of these.
Yeah, any one of those.
Okay.
That's why we're saying either.
Either or.
Yeah, this is just a minimum that at least this person must have one of those. Right?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. Maybe another lawyer can come in and say, but look, this tells you must be assisted by a social worker, medical practitioner, psychiatrist, psychologist. If all these are not there,
all,
at least can have a nurse, that's fine.
Yeah, all.
But if the nurse is not there, the rest, all of them is there.
No, the all is right at the end. There's a comma after each one. So instead of writing all, we're putting the all right at the end. All right? All right, now, okay.
Can I just ask a not so clever question?
All right.
In the event, if the heading, the death, serious injury, in an event of a natural or an unnatural death, how do you, because this person dies in a treatment center, who determines at that stage that it's natural or unnatural?
Yeah, we had an
extensive problem with that.
We came to the conclusion that in terms of the law, all deaths have to be reported, all right? And, in fact, a death certificate, for it to be issued, it must be issued by a medical practitioner who, in the death certificate, is required by law to stipulate whether the death was due to natural or unnatural causes, all right? So.
Okay. With your explanation right there.
Yeah.
Why are you saying natural or non-natural? Why doesn't just be death?
No, we had a lengthy debate.
Okay. I'm not comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Especially because it's in an institution, and we had this discussion with the Act as well. We did not put unnatural or natural.
Yeah.
We said death.
No, we took into account a recommendation from the safety and security. The police brought it up. We had a lengthy discussion of that submission, and we arrived at a conclusion that this is how we're going to settle the matter. So I'm not going to open that one for discussion. It will stay. Well, then it's an unnatural death, and it will be certified as such. Yes.
I have the same worry. So I gave him a hard time, I promise you. what was pointed out was that it would be a doctor that would decide whether it would be on that death certificate. Now, the reason that we split it like that is because it's important that we realize that we still need to have it reported to the DG, to the next of kin, to whoever else. So whilst SAPS did not want every death reported to them, we had to split it so that we still got the reporting to everybody else, and then they got only reported to them what they want reported to them.
All right.
It doesn't matter who explains it how. I'm still having a problem there, and I'm having to
deal with it. Yeah. As it stands right now,
it's not saying what you guys are telling me. So if that's what the intention was, I was not here, I should be able to read it and it must say that to me. That's the intention.
have. I was not here.
What is it that's not clear about it?
Not telling me that.
All right.
That's all.
Let's read through this clause again, so that everybody is satisfied that the clause says what it should say. Can our first reader read this one quickly? And this is going to take us to tea break.
The whole clause 26.
Yeah.
Clause 26. Death, serious injury or abuse of service user or any person affected by substance abuse in treatment center or halfway house. In the event of a natural and an unnatural death of a service user in a treatment center or halfway house, the manager of such center or house must immediately report such death to the director general, the next of kin, and the parent or guardian of the child. In the event of an unnatural death of a service user in a treatment center or halfway house, the manager of such center or house must, in addition to the persons referred to in subsection 1, immediately report such death to a police official. The police official must, upon receipt of the report in terms of subsection 2, cause an investigation into the circumstances surrounding the death of the service user or any person affected by substance abuse to be conducted by the South African Police Service unless the police official is satisfied that the service user or any person affected by substance abuse died of natural causes. If a service user or any person affected by substance abuse is seriously injured or allegedly abused while at a treatment center or halfway house, the manager of such center or house must report such injury or abuse to the director general, who must cause an investigation to be conducted into the circumstances of such injury or abuse. A manager who fails to comply with subsections 1, 2, or 4 is guilty of an offense and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period of exceeding 12 months or to both a fine and such imprisonment.
All right. To me, it is as good as we agreed. I have no problem with it. All right? Yeah?
I think you should rather say it's an event of natural or an unnatural, because as it's currently worded, it suggests that you must die both naturally and unnaturally.
And that is sub what?
No, I'm saying when you read it, 26.1, it says,
all right,
in the event of a natural and an unnatural death, I'm saying should be, in
oh,
the event,
yeah,
should be all.
Yeah.
I am saying, you see, for me,
yeah,
three is supposed to be, because when I die now in a treatment center, in my understanding, three should come first. Because if I die now and I'm in a treatment center, the first thing is that it's not like I'm going to lie there and a doctor is going to come and determine how I died before the police should be told. And that's what I'm struggling with. I'm in a treatment center. If I die, it's not like I'm in a hospital where the doctor is readily available and they're going to declare dead or whatever. That's what I'm struggling with. I'm happy with three, and I'm saying maybe I'm struggling with the process. Because if somebody dies in a treatment center, what happens first? The first thing is that death must be reported. It's a death. And how that death, whether it's going to be certified natural or unnatural, comes after the reporting has happened. And maybe that's what I'm struggling with, but it's fine if everybody's ready with it.
The first... I see the point you're making. An incident has occurred, all right? There are two possibilities. One is to immediately call the police because somebody died. Or two is to immediately call an ambulance. To take this person to the hospital. And upon arrival at the hospital, the doctor is going to certify this person dead. All right? And in certifying the death, he would also stipulate what the cause of the death is, including stating if it is unclear what the cause of the death is in terms of relevant legislation. If the death is the result of an unnatural cause, the doctor knows that he must immediately call for a police investigation to establish. Because you may think this person is dead when in fact he's still alive. So the very first thing you want is for the major medical rather than law enforcement to make the first intervention. All right? So the point that maybe needs to be clarified is whether in one, we have not unwittingly undo what actually happened, all right, in terms of the notification. Because in terms of other laws governing the reporting of death and the certification of death, the process would, I would imagine, immediately be to commit this person to a health facility where a medical practitioner would be able to certify the death of the person. I know that what does happen is that, I suppose, if a doctor arrives and certifies the person dead, then there is no need for. So maybe we just need to check if we have not unwittingly, you know, undone the system as it would ordinarily apply in cases of reporting of death. Yes.
I agree with what you are saying. I think, you know, reference to death here means you must show that this person is dead. Like the only person you can sue is a medical practitioner.
Yes.
Or a medical doctor. And once they have told you that this person is dead, whether natural or unnatural, then you must report it accordingly. Either you have to go and report it to the police, if it's unnatural. If it's a natural death, you must report it to the director general.
So what you're effectively going to say, and now I'm interjecting you, what you're effectively going to say is that any reference to death presupposes that the person has already been seen by a doctor who has certified the person dead, and that the applicable laws that govern that situation would have kicked in anyway. I think that satisfies. All right? Yes?
And which was my understanding, I think I'm looking at clause 3, the last part of the clause 3.
Yeah.
If the doctor has certified that the person has died of unnatural causes, he's saying that the police official must then go and investigate the circumstances surrounding the death of the service user.
All
right. But then we then say that unless the police official is satisfied that the service user or any person affected by substance abuse died of natural causes. But then you wouldn't be the one to say whether the person has died of natural causes or unnatural causes. It would be the medical officer who would say this. Unless we want to say perhaps that the investigation would show, then not a police official, because it presupposes that I will go there and say, but this person died as a police official, this person died of
right. So I'm proposing a slightly different adjustment to the formulation there.
Yes, Chair.
Yeah.
Maybe unless the investigation itself is, you know, it comes up a bit different.
But
I'm
let's
not
see.
Sure how
do we need that last part?
I don't know.
No. All right. So let's.
Sorry, Chair.
All right.
Three is fine. This is a direct copy from the children's bill. And it was very explained by the SAPS, and it is fine. Because all it says that is that if the person died of natural causes, then there's no need for investigation. But if it's unnatural, then it calls for investigation. And this is word for word copied from the children's bill. So this is fine.
Look, I suppose that the police officer wouldn't do anything that the law does not allow them to. So clearly it would be acting in terms of the relevant provision. So basically, you know, police officer is not going to attempt to be a medical practitioner. All right? And that can be presupposed. But Honorable Solo, I think you want to address us on this one.
I hear what people are saying. But you see, this unless the police official is satisfied. I thought this tree addressed itself to an unnatural death as certified by the doctor. So you would go in there and do thorough investigation of the circumstances unless a police official is satisfied that a service user or any person affected by substance abuse died of natural causes, to me it's redundant. I don't understand, why should you get a certificate from a doctor that says, look, these are unnatural, this is an unnatural death, and you go in there. What you are going in there, you are investigating the circumstances, maybe the conditions, or certain substance.
You are right. I think it's pathologous. I don't think you need to motivate further. I think we need to cut off that last part. It's superfluous. The whole purpose of that would have triggered the investigation is precisely to achieve what the last part of sub 3 says. All right. So we'll cut off that last portion. So unless. So I will put a full stop there. All right. Now, can I suggest that we go and have a short tea break of 5 minutes? I know that our 5 minutes end up being 7, so I'll stick to 5 minutes. And that might just give people a bit of a breather. We haven't closed this chapter, but immediately after tea, I'm going to allow a very brief further input from anybody on this chapter before we proceed. All right. Adjourn for 5 minutes. I thought I saw your hand or something. It was just my imagination. All right. I know Honorable Bokopani will probably have something to say on this chapter. But I was hoping in the meantime there might be somebody else who has something to say. What, English?
But also in gender, there's a difference between a woman and a
man. Yes. So, and
In Xhosa, there's no difference. And a young one.
What was their motivation?
I don't think they gave one.
Because Because if the intention was to bring that sector on board, it can still be accommodated in terms of the local level, because it is more the local issue. Because the house itself, and my worry also is that this is not something that was contained in the bill as it came to us. So, and it doesn't address the primary objective behind it. All right. So we'll just make those deletions. State law advisor. Now, starting from zero, chapter zero, right through the bill. All right. Now, the reason that we paused a bit was to allow Honorable Ruhbaniville to come back, because we didn't want to leave this chapter before she is satisfied that she has raised all the issues she wants to raise in relation to the chapter, if any. So the floor is yours, Honorable Ruhbaniville.
This one is just a question.
Yes.
27B. Services consisting of early intervention programs, including programs for the diversion of adults and children. What was the intention there? What were we trying to say? Were we saying we want to divert children? Are we separating children from? Okay, 27 says establishing of outpatient services. Ne? The manager of a treatment center may establish any of the following outpatient services. One, services consisting of prevention programs, including programs on education, training, information sharing, and campaigns. Right? B, services consisting of any intervention programs, including programs for the diversion of adults and children. I just want to check what exactly are we saying there. Maybe it's clear and straightforward. I'm just a little not so clear about this afternoon.
My understanding was that we were trying to create a synergy between the child justice bill and this bill. Well, not only the child justice bill, but also the probation services act, which is where diversion is dealt with.
But the problem is that you have put it in the same sentence as early intervention programs. If that was the intention, because as far as justice discussed diversion programs, and in the manner in which I understand probation services, they are not early intervention services. Maybe that's why I don't understand it.
Well, I would have thought that early intervention is a tool to prevent a person from going deeper than where they already are. But the fact is that they're already in. So if somebody is caught, for example, with a bag of, well, with a spliff of marijuana, instead of taking them through the criminal justice system, in terms of the Probation Services Act, they might just put them under diversion. But if that person is a hardcore dealer, then early intervention is no longer relevant, and possibly diversion equally.
I agree, Chair. You and me are saying the same thing. The question I'm asking is that, is it okay in the same sentence? That's what I'm asking. Because it doesn't make sense. How do you...
Basically you're saying we should split this into...
Yes, because here you're talking specifically about diversion.
All right.
So you can't have early intervention and diversion in the concept of justice all in the same, because early intervention is in a concept of health.
It's
in the concept of health. And the diversion in this context is a concept of justice. So how do you have justice and health all in the same sentence? It's kind of...
Look, I wouldn't die for it, but I wouldn't mind splitting it equally.
I wouldn't either, as long as it's clear. But
yeah. Can we create a new C there and split the two concepts? Is there somebody who can formulate something quickly this time?
I think it should be quite easy to, because it says the manager of a treatment center may establish any of the following outpatient services. A, that we've discussed, except that we've got training instead of skills development again. And then B, services consisting of early intervention programs. And then C, programs for the diversion of adults and children. D would be holistic treatment services. So.
Because obviously the diversion is linked to those people who are affected. It's diversion in the context of substance abuse. It's not the general diversion that the justice system. But I think the context would arise from the fact that we're dealing with substance abuse per se.
Okay. My next
point. All right.
Is the next one. But if the committee is happy with it, those managers will not actually be. There won't be a diversion of those adults. They're programs for adults and children who have what come via diversion. I mean, because the way it's written, it sounds like we're gonna divert them somewhere.
Programs for.
Children.
I think it's fine, really. Let's not split hairs, because if we say for diversion, all we mean is that if somebody is diverted and their diversion implies that instead of going through the criminal justice system, they must come to our system, we would be expecting them and would have created programs for them.
And often children who have been diverted. Because,
but then we're complicating it, diverted in terms of what
because
from what
because programs for the diversion of adults and children definitely means programs that we're going to divert.
Yeah, I think let's not split hairs over this. Time doesn't allow us to do it, and I think we won't die from having it like that. Who's going to kill us? Justice. They'll be only too happy to have us saying something like that. All right. In fact, that's the DG who insisted that he needs more diversion away from his system. Oh, wait, let me first get Ms. Weber. All right. chief director.
This guy wouldn't fall, but it was about programs for the diversion of adults and children. Would it be sufficient to say programs for adults and children who have been diverted from the criminal justice system? Is it going to be sufficient?
Mm. That's
all right. Fine. Everybody is happy. Yeah. Yes, Ms. Dudley. All right. Okay. All right. Yes, Ms. Bokopane.
I'm just got a question, so if all you right. answer it quickly, we'll... Are we happy with this section, your children? You know, children are my favorite subject.
Mm-hmm.
28.
Yeah.
Is the committee happy with the way it's written?
Well, raise the specific issue you want to raise.
No, I'm just a little concerned because on not saying anything except just highlighting the different sections of the bill, and I'm asking myself, was that relevant? Why didn't we just wait one clause and as agreed? Because initially when we discussed this section, I'm looking at my notes, the agreement was that we are not going to try and pick up certain sections of the children's bill in case we misquote certain sections. Instead, we are just going to acknowledge the children's bill as the whole act and say that the relevant sections apply. Because, I mean, you look at 28.1, section 110 of the Children's Act applies with the changes required by the context in respect of children abusing substances or affected by substance abuse. Look at the next one. Children that are dependent on, really. And then we go section 191 of the children's, so we're just pulling out the different sections of the children's bill. And I thought that this section was just going to have one or two clauses that will just indicate that in relation to substance abuse, the provisions of the Children's Act apply without trying to pull, because once now we go to the sections and we pull out, it doesn't make sense the way it's written, Chair.
Yeah, but the purpose was that the Children's Act is a very broad act. It deals with a whole range of things, some of which may be completely unrelated to the objects of this bill. So what they have gone and done was to look at what are the key institutional arrangements. Institutional not in the sense of facilities, but institutional in the sense of mechanisms that have been created in that law, which are key to capturing children in the context of them being users or them being, if you like, victims of substance abuse. In other words, affected as opposed to being themselves users. And they have gone and identified the key. You see, the Children's Act, when it comes to intervention, there is, for example, the concept of children in need of care and protection. Once a child falls within that purview, then a whole range of provisions under that act kick in. The other thing is about compulsory reporting as a tool. It's a specific tool that seeks to achieve a plan. If you open it up completely, it could be too vague to mean anything concrete. So that is how. If there are other aspects of the children's act that should have been brought into the picture, that somehow directly or indirectly as a result of mention of this process is completely missed, that can be fixed in relation to amendments. But what they've tried to do was to bring on board the core linkage points between that law and this act. But that's fine. If it's not 100%, they'll come back to us or to the next parliament with an amendment. All right? Now, is there any other thing in chapter, what chapter is this? Chapter 6? All right. 4 of clause?
The same one. It says, any child and youth care center contemplated in subsection 3 says section 191 of the Children's Act applies changes required by context in respect of children admitted to child and youth care centers that offer treatment for substance abuse and dependence. Okay? Then it says any child and youth care center contemplated in subsection 3 must comply with conditions for registration and norms and standards for the establishment of treatment centers. So what we are saying is that now the youth and care centers must also, over and above the norms and standards as prescribed in the Children's Act, comply with these ones as well.
If what they are going to do in addition to any other service they render is also going to be providing this type of service. Because you see, if we're going to have child and youth care centers pretending to have the capacity to deal with children affected by substance abuse and register as such, when in fact there's nothing there that brings them any close to having the ability, the capacity to deal with those children, how do you create a compelling situation for them to comply with those standards? Because they're handing themselves out as being those child and youth care centers who can also provide the kind of services contemplated in this act. So that was just to make sure that we haven't left it out. It's a similar thing with health. We've said any health facility can provide a detox service as long as that facility is able to comply with the regulatory framework in health for the provision of that kind of service. Because we want to make sure that whoever provides this service, whether it's a children's home, whether it's some individual somewhere that's running some kind of a holiday home or something, that the norms and standards must ultimately, even government treatment centers. So that was the idea of making sure that nobody goes out there when they don't have the capacity to do it properly. All right, now I'm going to step off this chapter and move to the next chapter, which is called Chapter 7, I think, is it not? Miss Lightning Speed Reader, can you? Yes,
maybe. I might have missed it, Chair.
Yeah.
Does the outpatient stories replace the community-based services?
Yeah, we went through some discussion on that.
Yeah, I just wanted to be updated.
And we concluded that there is an operative word that distinguishes the two. That a community-based services will always be non-residential. That outpatient services will be provided always in an inpatient facility. That any facility, treatment facility that does not have an inpatient service would automatically fall within the definition of a community-based service, because necessarily it would be meaning that that facility is located at a place where people can walk in and out and not have to go from far and come and leave their permanent. So it would be servicing the local community anyway, necessarily, just because of the proximity issue. Because you can't travel 200 kilometers every day in and out of the service. So that's how we created the distinction. slowing you down, because from being a speed of light to being an eon, now to being a lightning. Yes, please proceed.
Page 18, chapter 7, Aftercare and Reintegration Services. Clause 30, Establishment of Aftercare and Reintegration Services. The Minister must, in consultation with the National Youth Commission, National House of Traditional Leaders, and the Ministers of Labour, Arts and Culture, Sports and Recreation, Health, Education, Correctional Services and Provincial and Local Government, prescribe integrated aftercare and reintegration services aimed at the successful reintegration of a service user into society, the workforce, and family and community life. The services contemplated in Subsection 1 must include elements that allow service users to interact with other service users, their families, and communities, allow service users to share long-term sobriety experiences, promote group cohesion among service users, enable service users to abstain from substance abuse, are based on structured programs, must focus on successful reintegration of a service user into society and family and community life, and prevent the recurrence of problems in the family environment of the service user that may contribute to substance abuse. Clause 31, support groups. Service users and persons affected by substance abuse may, as prescribed, establish support groups that focus on integrated ongoing support to service users in their recovery. The purpose of the establishment of support groups is to provide a safe and substance of abuse-free group experience where service users can practice re-socialization skills, facilitate access to persons who have recovered from dependency on substance and who can serve as role models for service users who are in the beginning or middle stage of the recovery process, and encourage service users to broaden their support system from persons contemplating in B. Support groups may be established at community level by a professional, non-governmental organization, or a group of service users or persons affected by substance abuse. That's all in chapter 7.
Right. Any corrections from any quota? Yes, the sample.
We've agreed to be taking our traditional leaders now in everything.
To National House of Traditional Leaders, consequential amendments. Right. Lovely. Anything, any further correction from any source? Going? Yes? Keller, yeah? By the way, this word dependency, have we agreed to maintain it throughout? Mm-hmm. All right? But what is the issue you're asking? Including them in the fold of this
was that you can't regulate because these are self-interest groups. It's people that come together and share their experiences. So really it wouldn't make sense to regulate them. But there are others that can be started by a professional person, for instance, a social worker doing group work. It's time limited and it depends on the program that they all agree to and so on. So there's no, just to mention them, that if we need to support them or establish them, that we can do that and even link them up to organizations like the AA and so on. But really there's no need to regulate them to that extent where we provide for their registration and all those kinds of things.
All right. Now, is there something, the purpose of the support group is to, D says three support groups, or is it just my reference? communities who are concerned about the incidence of substance abuse, whatever the issue is. So then the suggestion was to accommodate you, Ms. Keller, because you feel that where support groups have been located limits them. Why don't we find a neutral ground where we are not confined to any of these areas of intervention, where we can put support groups so that they talk to all this continuum of intervention, from prevention right through to aftercare and reintegration, because there are different support groups for different purposes. So the suggestion, therefore, was, therefore, the only neutral ground that you can get in the whole of this bill where you could possibly accommodate such would be Chapter 3. All right? Because Chapter 2 is a different animal. And of course, Clause 59, is it 59 that deals with general provisions? It's also a different animal. So that was the agreement. Now I ask the question, if that was the understanding, why are we still having them here and talking only to service users, one, and two, confined to aftercare and reintegration, instead of where we had agreed they would go to and broaden their scope?
Okay.
Yes.
So an oversight must go to 3.
All right.
So we just conclude like that. That's where it belongs. And then discussion closes.
Right.
What I'm trying to say here is that it's important, you are right, and your understanding of support groups are important. People on treatment, I mean, at different levels require support groups. So it's extremely important that the support groups are kind of...
Yeah. Now, I was just asking, we discussed and agreed. I was just wondering, why have we not done the necessary? All right. Is somebody going to reformulate this thing, take it out completely from this chapter, and find a slot for it in Chapter 3? Yes, you want to say something?
The implications there were far far-reaching.
All right.
Remember, we had Clause 31, and we suggest you must remove the whole of Clause 31. Clause 32 must become Clause 31, and so on and so on, and you will see what it means. You must then go and look at all the cross references that would have been made to either 34 or 31, because 31 will not be 31 anymore, 32 will not be 32 anymore. That can happen, but I don't know when you expect that to happen.
Well, we could make a sub clause of something else, and that way we would avoid the technical problem of numbering.
And what happens with the current clause 31?
Oh, you
clause
mean in the sense that...
31 disappears, means 32 must become 31, and so on and so on, up until clause...
So we need something to substitute this. All right, look, I'm going to say that this should have been done. It wasn't done. It's late in the day, so I am willing to compromise on this and say we'll leave it as it is. All right? The department had an opportunity to fix it, didn't fix it, so we'll confine ourselves to support groups that do aftercare. You'll come with an amendment next time. For now, we're recognizing support groups of service users themselves in relation to aftercare and reintegration. So next time you'll make sure that once you've picked up something, you follow it up. Yes, Ms. Keller.
I'm making a proposal. We could look at, for instance, making a small provision under establishment and provision. provision of community-based services on clause 13, just to make that provision for support groups at community level, because I think it's important, even if we don't break it down, but just make a clause 5, for instance. It's 13 ones about the establishment. It says community-based services must, and then it lists the other things, and then I think we should actually end the 5 there.
No, I think that we're not going to tinker further. This is a substantive policy issue that could have been sorted and wasn't sorted. All right? So we're going to live with the gap until you come back to Parliament with an amendment. It's too late in the process for us to try and give effect to policy gaps that should have been given effect and weren't. All right. It stays as it is, and we proceed to Chapter 8. Yes? Mr. Yes.
Just on page 19, clause 31, 2B, it's just the terminology that we are using here which can maybe give the wrong impression. We refer in that subclause B of persons who have recovered from dependency, and actually it can never happen. So I really like to propose that we take that persons who have recovered from dependency and just replace it with access to service users in recovery.
In fact, I have a communication from civil society that says that this bill is still using redundant language that has been criticized in submissions. And I think this would be one of them. I would accommodate that. I'm comfortable with that. I think Honorable Mokhubane Zulu wanted, so I could hear him mumbling earlier on. Alright. Do you want to repeat the formulation?
Chairperson, if I can read then what I'm suggesting is that we will start that subclause B with facilitate access to, and then we put in service users in recovery. And then we take out that persons who have recovered from dependency. We need to take that out.
Is it clear enough? In recovery from substance abuse. Substance abuse. How can you recover from substance? Are we using it consistently throughout, or are we rather using substance abuse instead? Are we using the two terms interchangeably?
Chair,
can I
respond to this?
Yes?
Please, Chair, let me respond.
Yes?
Yeah. Chair. Chair.
Don't be too scared of me.
No, I'm not scared, but Chair, I get intimidated. Every time I try to say something, you interrupt me.
Chair. I think I know what else you're going to say. Then I'll summarize it for you. If you don't agree with my summary, you're free to disagree with me.
But Chair, it's intimidation.
Alright.
Chair, right. Can I...
I won't summarize for you anymore. Undertake. Sealed, signed and sealed.
Chair, Right. Okay. Let me just try and say this. There are two things. I think this was raised by the CDA as well. The issue of drug abuse and dependency. They're two different things. To abuse drugs doesn't necessarily mean that you are dependent on drugs. So the advice is to actually use both concepts. And we have consistently used these concepts throughout. So
response to...
And the sector is comfortable with it.
The chair?
This sector is comfortable with it.
It is comfortable.
Because we're also trying to be sensitive to the sensitivities that the sector we're regulating.
Yes. But chair, you would remember in terms of this issue of whether they are recovering or they have recovered was a major issue that was raised by the lady who was here in terms of the fact that they think they have recovered. So we say they are perpetually, you know, if you've not been, if you've abstained from whatever drugs or whatever for the last 25 years, why are you still in recovery? And this was a debate that was, I'm just reminding you, Chair, whether we
now
recovered or recovering. Yeah.
So actually, we're being retrogressive by attempting to because these people are saying to us that it is actually possible to recover, and we're damping their spirit and their hope that there's something to achieve, and we're saying this thing is not achievable. How do we say this to people, that whatever dreams you have of living a substance-free life is unrealistic because you'll never achieve it? Who are we to tell them that?
The thing is that they are constantly, they are recovering whatever they need. So we need a way of saying that, because it's unlike somebody who's got a flu, who's going to recover. In terms of the substance that we do, recover by day, you take every day that we come. Yes, it's the same thing. It's an ongoing, it's like a, I can't even say the point.
You see, I'm going to prefer.
So let's find a way of saying.
I'm going to prefer to accede to a request of a sector that to show sensitivity to them. Okay, we must acknowledge and affirm that they're saying to us that as far as they're concerned, if they can stay permanently out of substances, all right. And the lady said that I've stayed out of it for how many years? 28 years. Are we going to tell her that you're still recovering? In my capacity as chairperson of this committee, I think I'm going to urge this committee to respond to the sensitivity requested by the people concerned. They are saying, if I can show that I have been able to keep away from substances and never used them again, even if there is this permanent threat that I could use them, or even if I continue to be tempted to use them, as long as I'm not using them. Because recovering in this instance, all it means is abstinence. All right? There is no stronger recovery other than abstinence. It's the actual act of not using. Otherwise, we are saying that all this exercise is an exercise in futility, and that shows complete disregard for, we're disrespecting the very exercise that we're involved in. I think if the users feel that the only way we can acknowledge their effort is by recognizing them. You know, a child passes matric and they get matric exemption, and we say, no, that's not good enough because you don't have a distinction. The child will never really satisfy the parents because he will never really achieve the standard that the parents want. Now, if this is a special request from the sector and there's rational basis to accommodate it, I would insist let's accommodate it. All right? Mr. Pierre Vivier, unless you're going to help me.
Chairperson, this is a very fundamental aspect that we are dealing with, and I think that's one of the cornerstones on which this whole legislation is based on. If we adopt the approach that dependency can be cured, then we almost like to redraft this whole piece of legislation, because it's basically written on the principle of that dependency cannot be cured. The only way that you can deal with it is to maintain sobriety.
But we're not talking of cure. We're talking of recovery. And to me, recovery means a state of sobriety. That is sufficient to prove recovery. If you can continue to abstain, you've recovered. The whole exercise has been achieved. All right, Chief Director.
I'm trying to propose the crafting of this clause, which is not actually definitive on whether or not we are saying recovered or recovery. And I'm suggesting maybe we need to say to facilitate access to persons or service users who have recovered or are recovering from substance abuse or dependence on substances, so that it covers both instances. Because I think that it's not quite.
Yeah.
You know what I'm struggling with, and I think me and Pia are in the same boat. I'm really struggling, because you see, when you are recovered of something, then it does, you are not a service user anymore. Why would you need the service form? Because you've recovered. And I mean, if you read the whole legislation, and I'm just saying we need to find, I'm not married to whatever weight, but I feel strongly, because this whole program are defined, and yes, you are right, if I can prove that I can stay sober or whatever, but part of the reason why you will be able in this instance,
not even I can, I have.
No, to stay sober, Jay, is because of the kind of support you will receive. So we must take into consideration that some of the reasons why people end up where they are is because they don't have the support. So if we want to come to this part of the chapter and say and talk about recovery, then we are practically limiting some of the services, or getting even support for some of the services that these people will need. And hence, I'm not married to whatever. I'm just wondering that we are going to might paint a picture of people that have recovered. Because once you've recovered, like that lady, you are no longer a service user. So you've stayed for 28 years, you are sober, you are no longer referred to as a service user. You've recovered, so that means this bill doesn't talk to you anymore. Now, just coming to the point and the legislation that the chief is proposing, I mean the wording that the chief is proposing, I would have a problem with the word recovered and recovery and service users in the same sentence. I would have a problem with that, because I have seen drug users, and I'm struggling.
Yeah. Look, can I indicate the following?
But whatever,
I indicate the following? I have this fundamental belief that addiction to anything, whether legal or illegal, is part of the human psyche. I don't know if there's anybody who can stand here and they don't have any form of addiction to anything in life. Honorable Solo, I'm not going to invite you to give examples of the kind of addictions that people can. But really, the serious point I want to make here is that we can sit here and be the holier than thou who say that we are not addicted. You know, we were told that addictions are part of the genetic makeup of the human psyche. That certain people may be prone to certain types of addictions. You may not even know that you have an addiction to anything. automatically the only point that you know whether you have an addiction. Try whiskey. That is it. Some people, once they've had the taste of it, might never be able to resist it, even when it's taking a toll on them. All right. Others can have it until they are 80 or 90 and never reach a point where it makes them dysfunctional in some way or the other. All right. So we can go on and on and talk about addictions and who's recovered and who's not addicted anymore and whether once you're addicted, can you recover from addiction, etc. And I think that we're going to get into a dangerous philosophical discussion. All right? So I really don't want a situation where we end up in a situation where we show complete insensitivity to certain realities of life. And that's my concern. If a sector is saying, you know, that yes, we know we happen to be addicted to something that society finds quite repugnant, all right, and we're doing everything to stay completely out of it, all right, who are we to come and say to them that because of what you were addicted to, you will never recover? Forget about it. All right. Just wait. Let me first hear Mr. Pierre. If yes, he's been raising his hand itchingly for a while.
Sorry, Chairperson. I just want to say last thing. You must not get the impression that we do not have a lot of empathy with people in their recovery, because I think it's a major effort, and I think that's why we are all in this business, because we are passionate about the service delivery. So we don't try to be patronizing against people who are using. But the point I want to make, if you can use the alcoholic, because I think it's easier for us to understand, even if I'm sober for 50 years, it doesn't mean I've recovered. The only way that you can prove to yourself that you have recovered is that you should be able to drink normal, like other people. You should then, if you recover that I've been an alcoholic, then you should be able to kind of have a casual drink as other people do without excessively starting using alcohol again. So the fact that you are sober for so many years is not a proof then to say, but really I've 100% recovered. I can drink alcohol.
Look, I'm not going to allow the prolonging of this discussion. Because, can I just make... All right.
You see, for me, I've got great sympathy, and I'm not, Chair, as you summarize, I'm just worried about the support, and I know how government is. I'm just saying, let's craft it in such a way that we are not going to create, and while acknowledging what you are saying, and I mean, we're very sympathetic, and we know it can be done, but we must just craft it in such a way that we acknowledge reality, like what PF just said. Actually, he took my example. So that we don't find ourselves in the process of responding to what the sector wants, limit the intervention services and the follow-up services that require resources to follow them. That's all I'm asking for me. As we acknowledge the recovery, whatever we want to bring, let's put it in such a way that it will acknowledge the ongoing support that's required, so that we are able to make sure that the department has the required resources to continue and to be able to provide that required support. Then I will sleep at night.
Like, the definition of service user seems to confine us to people who are in fact in an institution, which means once you leave the institution, you're no longer a service user. All right. Now, so it in any case means that the people that we're talking about are people whilst they're still in the service. All right. So this whole discussion then becomes even more academic. All right. But I just wanted to indicate further that, you see, even the term people who are in recovery then becomes flawed, because we're saying a person can never be in recovery because they can never recover. In recovery means you are in the process of recovering. But if that process is futile because you'll never recover, why do we even say you are in recovery? Right? But even the concept becomes flawed itself. But I asked a question to the CDA when they were still providing the scientific basis for this. And I asked them this simple question. Can a person be cured? And they said yes, and the cure is abstinence. Right? So they said their ultimate, all these efforts that we're engaged in, and the ultimate objective is to get people to abstain. Now, if they're abstaining, it means this thing has worked. If they're not abstaining, it means the interventions have failed. All right? So if the person goes back, it means they have a relapse, and even the term relapse is being used. All right? Is being used to show that it is possible to recover, but then to have a relapse. All right? So, I'm really, it's like malaria. You get cured from malaria and then you get a relapse. All right? But anyway, and I'm sure it will be true of other medical conditions. All right? But anyway, The point is that for purposes of this clause, which I'm not going to allow any protracted further philosophical engagement, we just need to establish whether the formulation as it stands needs any further tinkering, or whether we can accept the clause as it stands insofar as it relates to what this chapter deals with, which is aftercare and reintegration anyway, because there we can confine it to service users, because service users who are in aftercare, it means that they, I just assume that the definition of service user is in order, because the way I see it is quite narrow and very confining. But other than that, is there anything else that anybody feels strongly in the light of discussion which you said, of making any other correction to this clause, to clause 31? Important.
Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Director.
I'm a little concerned about this non-recovery. We sit here for days and hours on end, and we send a message out to service users that whatever happens, you never recover. Is this what we want to do? You know, perhaps I'm not quick on that thing, but
No, that's why we have said it very clearly, that we're not going to go down that road. I know the department has been insistent, and now I can understand why on certain issues there is this complete stalemate between the department and the sector. Because I would have adopted the same attitude. You see? Honorable Mokhobane Zulu would know that from our side, for example, as a disability sector, we're even opposed to the term people with disabilities. It's just that we're tolerating it. Because our argument is that what disables us is not the impairment in us. We're saying an impairment may make you to do certain things differently. But when I stand there in the house and I read my speech in Braille, I don't regard that as a sign of weakness on my part. In fact, I see it as a sign of strength. I think it enables me to communicate with my audience whilst maintaining eye contact with them. Whereas you're using print as a form of communication actually disable you. It limits you because it prevents you from being able to maintain permanent eye contact with your audience. You have to constantly look up and down, look up and down, look up and down, like Hokuheikomon. You see? So, I just find that I have a different way of doing things. Alright? And we're saying we're disabled because of the barriers that society places on us from being able to develop to our full potential. If I have access to my braille and I'm able to communicate in the manner that I know best, then I can do whatever you do, I can still practice my law and win cases, even though I may not be able to use my vision or not even have it at all. Where the judge, Zach Yakub, is in the Constitutional Court, totally blind. But anyway, I really don't want to go down that route. I'm just saying that one thing that we must learn is to accord the sector that we work with the sensitivity to the issues that they consider to be fundamental to them. All right. On that note, that it would acknowledge that It acknowledges both philosophies in a sense, right? Those that believe that a person can never recover and will always be in a permanent state of recovery, all right, would have something to hang on to, right? Those that believe that you can actually reach a point of recovery would feel comfortable that, you know, they have been acknowledged. So it covers both. Let's just see if we just add the word "are in recovery" before "have recovered," "are in recovery" or "have recovered," whether the rest of the sentence would read correctly.
Yes.
Or make sense. Yes.
In my view,
you're
if we temp, I appreciate that.
All right.
Okay, if you look at the rest of the sentence,
yeah,
then the recovering, I don't know whether it would, because this sentence talks to people who have recovered, who then become role models for service users who are in the beginning or middle stages of the recovery process. So that will take care of the recovery for me. So I don't know, we might have to tinker with the last part of the sentence if we get recovering at the in the first part of the sentence.
What's wrong with people who are recovering, serving as a role model? And encouraging others that you can actually be on a path of recovery. Because that would also take care of Mr. Pierre Vivier, who believes that in any case you never recover, you're in a permanent state of recovery. So you're killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, for progress, I think we'll
settle. We'll settle for that. Mr. Vivier?
No. Chairperson, I know that the Chief Director of Legal Services, you really redrafted it so that he could maybe.
Because
he shared it with me when I went to him, so maybe
right.
I can just.
So he drafted something along those lines. Alright.
I read it out a long time ago.
And it's basically what.
And it was shot down and it's been.
And
revised.
This is basically it.
This is exactly what I said 40 minutes ago.
Alright. Right. Well, maybe it was something that we all had to go through. We had to go through the long way to arrive at the correct decision. I know there are shorter ways, but it doesn't help if we are not on the same wavelength. If we are not reading.
I think, and I see it happening here. Sometimes it could help if a person is talking, people listen. And sometimes before you finish talking, people have got responses and they have not heard exactly what you were saying. And I said this thing about 40 or 30 minutes ago.
Yes.
And you're actually back at what I suggested.
Yes.
40 minutes ago.
Yes.
And I don't see what was the point of the whole discussion.
Yeah. Well, the point of the whole discussion, Chief Director, was that there are two different schools of thought over this issue. Even as we have resolved it, we haven't resolved the underlying philosophical difference. They will remain. So this, in fact, is a compromising position.
But actually, I said so at the beginning to say, in order to accommodate both, let's rather
be
definitive about what we're saying.
You did say that, all right? But that, for everybody to get to that point, would have, in any case, ended up in this discussion. But anyway, look, let's not discuss semantics. We have achieved something, and that is to find each other around this issue. Right. Chapter 8. Can you lead us?
Chapter 8, Admission, Transfer, and Referral to Treatment Center. Admission of Voluntary Service User to Treatment Center. An application for admission as a voluntary service user to a treatment center must be made in the prescribed manner by a voluntary service user or by any other person acting on behalf of the voluntary service user or, if the voluntary service user is a child, a parent or guardian of that child. A person who submits himself or herself voluntarily to a treatment center for treatment, skills development and rehabilitation is entitled to appropriate treatment, rehabilitation and skills development services. The
Director General of the Department of Health must provide detoxification services and health care requirements to voluntary service users at a public health establishment. A treatment center may provide detoxification services to voluntary service users, provided such treatment center complies with the National Health Act. An application contemplated in subsection 1 must be accompanied by a report from a social worker regarding the applicant's social circumstances, including any medical or psychiatric report that the manager of the treatment center may consider necessary. If a social worker is not available at the time of admission, such report must be submitted within 7 days after admission to the treatment center. Clause 33, admission of involuntary service user to treatment center. An involuntary service user, except those referred to in sections 33 and 40, may not be provided with treatment, rehabilitation and skills development in a treatment center unless a sworn statement is submitted to a public prosecutor by a social worker, community leader or person closely associated with such a person alleging that the involuntary service user is within the area of jurisdiction of the magistrate's court to which such prosecutor is attached and is a person who is dependent on substances and is a danger to himself or herself or to the immediate environment or causes a major public health risk. In any other manner does harm to his or her own welfare or the welfare of his or her family and others. In any commit a criminal act to sustain his or her dependence on substances. The clerk of the court must, at the request of the public prosecutor, issue a summons to a police official to be served on a service user contemplating subsection 1, calling on him or her to appear before a magistrate at the time and place stated in such summons.
Not to say that there are no corrections to this chapter. Tell them they will go to heaven. Maybe that's just a sign that there will be few suggested adjustments from Honorable Mokokwani Zulu.
Take the index version or this version?
the index is actually similar to the heading of plot 43. Maybe what I could really agree with my colleague is that maybe if you look at 44 and 43, maybe if he talks about facts inconsistent in that regard, the numbers. Because on 44 we include each and every facility.
So tell us, what should we do? Add or not add?
Chair, I would say let's keep it this way, because the index is properly reflected as it is in the heading of plus 43.
So you've got the correct one now. Still insist?
No, sir, I think we are talking about two different ones.
In the light that you are aware of what you're talking about?
Then I agree with my colleague.
All right. Colleague?
What changes, yeah? The index changes.
No, this block changes. Which one changes?
44
changes.
The content.
The content changes, I understand. Is that additional matter dealt with in the body of the clause? Because the purpose of the heading is to reflect what the content in the clause itself does. If there's consistency between the two, then the index must change. But if there's no consistency, then the index must prevail.
See, Chair.
All right.
C refers to 44C.
Yeah.
Refers in the Mental Health Care Act, the Minister of Health may, in consultation with the Minister, and by order and writing, transfer to a public treatment center designated any mental health care user. So it's mental health care.
So it must reflect accordingly.
Says any mental. Will you interrupt it again, sir?
All right.
Says designated by the minister, any mental health care user in a health establishment. So it could either be
but which one should prevail?
I think what my colleague from the state law advisor was saying is that on the index of clause 44, maybe on page 4, we are referring to mental health care, while mental health care facility, while in clause 44 on page 23, the heading is referring to health establishment. And he's saying the two need to be aligned.
That's correct. So the question is, which one must prevail? So my question still stands.
Treat 44.1C.
And that's what Ms. Keller is now assisting us. She's saying, let's look at what for the content of 44. 44.1C.
The one on page 4 in the index needs to change to say health establishment.
All right. Because it's a much broader concept, and that was the intention. All right. So the index is the one that will change, 44.1C. 1C, yeah. And that links with the whole debate with health around what is a health establishment, etc. Is it about detoxification service? The transfer from, or not necessarily? Mm-hmm. All right, okay.
Can we
yes,
get to this page?
Gala?
I'm just saying, say, if a child, 42B,
yeah.
I'm proposing an amendment to say, if a child is placed in a child and youth care facility, such center, it says currently must be regarded as a treatment center for the purpose of this act. And I'm saying that we should say, if a child is placed in a child and youth care center, such center must be, or must, subject to clause 28.4, be regarded at the treatment center for the purposes of this act. And 28.4 deals with the fact that they must also comply. If it's a child and youth care center, it must also comply with the norms and standards for the treatment of children.
Wouldn't that have gone without saying?
Clause, I was just afraid it was good because going to send contradictory messages. 23 on page 23, clause 42.5b. The chairperson says it goes without saying. I'm saying it might send contradictory messages. Because if you read this without reading 28, you think that any child